Didst thou not sow good seed in thy field? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. These last 2 weeks I've been reading about the history of the church in Nigeria in preparation for the ordination last Wednesday of their first true priest in 45 years. It's 35 years that we've been at it, you and I, in the mission fields, not of the Niger River, but of the Ohio, since we began St. Gertrude the Great Mission. We actually started, as they say, on the other side of the river in 1977, but eventually ended up here. Some of what I've been reading reminded me a bit of our own beginnings. Oh, not the Nigerian missions themselves. They began in 1885 with heroic French fathers who promptly and heroically died one after another due to lack of medicine and brutal living conditions. And then came the more practical and cheerful Irish who, by means of a system of schools and of lay teachers, were able to convert, within about 20, 25 years, the entire Igbo tribe, that's Father Nkamuke's tribe. They think of themselves, as most people used to centuries ago, in terms of their tribe. But it was actually, reading the history, a side trip taken by the mission prefect, a certain Father Joseph Shanahan, which caught my eye and made me think. During World War I, the British conquered the neighboring colony to Nigeria, the Cameroons, which was a German colony with German missionaries. The German missionaries were interned by the British in a prison camp, and their mission stations and their faithful were abandoned. During the war, the Vatican assigned this Irish Holy Ghost Father, Shanahan, to visit the Cameroons and to report on conditions there. He arrived on Christmas Eve after an 800-mile trek, mostly on foot, a little bit on mule, but he said the mule was quite uncooperative, and he made better time on his own 2 feet. The Catholics he found there were few in number amongst the many pagans who persecuted them. The buildings were all gone. Even the bells had disappeared. And the pagans stole the Catholic girls' dresses, so much so that the priest noted that only 2 girls came to any of his masses because they had no church clothing anymore. But great was the joy of those who were left. Their first Mass in 4 years. They gave the priest a royal welcome, and it was Christmas Eve. The hills were soon ringing, resounding with tom-toms, beating out the rhythm of the Adeste Fideles, calling all of the Catholics to come, and they did, kneeling before an improvised mud altar, a little hut, covered with flowers, field flowers. The same congregation fell to its knees, and from the moment of the elevation until after Holy Communion, kissed the ground, because that's how they welcomed the coming of a king. And they knew that the little king had just been born there in the Bethlehem of their little chapel. And they sang. The missionaries had taught them the only carol they knew, the Adeste Fideles. They sang, wrote Father Shanahan to the Pope, with a faith that must have brought Mary and Joseph to the second Bethlehem. During his sermon, the missionary explained to the people what you know about our Lord in the tabernacle and how it was the people's duty to welcome the King of Kings. More royally than they had even welcomed him his messenger. They should not leave their king unattended during the royal visit, he reminded them. And their eyes became bright as they remembered the reality of the presence of God. And so they didn't permit our Lord in a little wooden tabernacle to be left alone day or night, but they knelt before him and prayed. And they prayed especially that a priest would return to them. When Father had to leave, he was followed by some of the Catholics for several days, just so they could assist at more masses and receive the sacraments again. In another village, for Epiphany, high up in the mountains, the throbbing twitter of native drums drew some from as far away as 100 mountainous miles to hear Holy Mass. Father conducted there another 2-week, 40 hours devotion. And when finally he had to consume the Blessed Sacrament and go, all of the people escorted him down to the river, chanting, "Stay with us, Father. Stay with us. You brought us our Lord. How can you take him from us?" In the final fading farewell, as his canoe moved swiftly downriver, reminds me of the dream and the cry of the Irish to St. Patrick, "Come back to us again. Bring us our Lord." Reading about the Catholic converts of that German colony somehow made me think a little of the faith and of the fervor of our first faithful here in Cincinnati so many years ago. Some are gone now to their reward. Some are with us still in one of the many traditional chapels. I count 9, but there could be 10, and churches in the metropolitan area which unite us as well as divide us. Father Shanahan wrote this in his report to the Vatican. "The faith of these Christians is beyond praise. Few in numbers, scattered over a wide area, bereft of their priests and all support, despised by their chiefs, their churches and schools closed or in ruins, they have remained faithful to God in the midst of these accumulated disasters. The poor blacks have displayed their spiritual affinity with the Christians of all ages, the holy fire of faith, hope, and charity never ceased to burn bright in their souls. With what joy they welcomed me, with what eagerness they prepared themselves for the sacraments, these poor souls so loved and protected by God. And in the little hut where morning mass was celebrated, real saints were praying. I could not help thinking of the catacombs." He told the faithful before he left, "Get together, pray the rosary on Sundays until the priest returns." Exactly what we tell our faithful in the missions, whether it be Africa or America today. You know, in a sense, it is easier to keep the faith in the missions. But here, you have mass after mass, so many to choose from, and all of the rest. We here have so much that we end up a little bit like spoiled children who waste the food and throw it away. These are the weeds that have grown among the wheat over the years. That will always happen, of course. But still, of late, I have noted to my grief how many Catholics there are, young Catholic families, who no longer come to Mass every Sunday as the third commandment of God and the first precept of the church, oblige us. Satisfied perhaps to make it once or twice a month rather than every 8 days, and every and any activity over the weekend trumps Calvary. That's well understood. And then the children show the fruit of that, cold, distracted children at the communion rail and rarely at the confessional. And some girls and young ladies who could use their dresses to be confiscated because they seem to have outgrown them. They're too small. And daily masses with never a soul day after day. And within internally, by those who never think of the less fortunate, to spare them a prayer. But this is what helps you and them both. The missionary said, every little prayer and every sacrifice of one's time or one's pleasure. Could you be a missionary? Well, sure you could. The fields are white to the harvest, and not only in Black Africa. St. Teresa, our St. Teresa, is the patroness of the missions. She never left her cloister, but she used her instruments, her weapons of prayer and sacrifice every day. So could you be a missioner here in Cincinnati? Listen to what Father Shanahan wrote. Attendance at daily Mass in view of helping the missionaries brings untold souls into the church. Now, is there a one of you who does not have someone in his family who needs to be brought back to the church? Why then do I see hardly anyone using the God-given means to convert your own kith and kin? Why am I alone at the altar so many days? The longing, the loyalty which once characterized our little group of laity here in Cincinnati. You know, that's what brought me back time and again years ago from many other missions and finally inspired me to move here. It was the wheat of real zeal, incredible, but real, as in the story of Father Shanahan in the Cameroons. Not that excessive zeal which quickly burns itself out, all praise one day and nothing but condemnation and coldness the next. Not a bitter zeal which turns others away and which always turns on its own in time. But I mean the steady, self-sacrificing glow of a sanctuary lamp, its soft red light day and night indicating God's real presence among us. Pardon these anniversary wishes and thoughts. It will be 10 years Friday, you know, that we are in this beautiful new church. And next weekend, we'll be busy with the Blessed Sacrament and a new priest, and it will be the young father's turn to preach. I pray you will be here those days, all of you, young or old, so the king will not be left alone on his throne. Take a moment today for a little weeding in your soul before winter, won't you? You know, good seed was originally sown there on the banks of the Ohio. Oh, it never was all wheat, I am sure. That's the nature of things. But he, our king, has never left us since. nor has he ceased to feed us with the finest wheat. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.